Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of the breezes that blow. You know I'm trying to please to the calling of your heart strength.
What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show on this Labor Day. Happy Labor Day to everybody. Hope you're enjoying a nice weekend and enjoying the time off. And, of course, I never sleep, of course. And today will be brought to you by BarkBox, BarkBox.com. And for all of you who have dogs, you can go to BarkBox.com and see what they have. They've got some great treats and toys for dogs, not the ones that break every time you put them out, but the dogs rip apart like mine. Anyways, to get a free month, you go to getbarkbox.com/TheBubbaShow. Again, that's getbarkbox.com/TheBubbaShow. In the meantime, so as we take a look back at last week, interesting. We had North Korea shooting a missile over Japan, and of course it created a rattle in the markets. And then we had, of course, a dramatic rally pushing the NASDAQ to all-time new highs again. Interesting that, you know, it looked to be a buy. I can say that with a great deal of certainty. I mean, I actually said it live on a call that I was doing when it was happening, and I said that this is probably a buying opportunity, but I never expected the opportunity to be to go straight up as it did. I didn't expect to see brand new highs. I thought we'd see probably some selling, and of course, we got some mediocre data last week, and now you have the H-bomb that I guess North Korea has been testing over the weekend, and it'd be interesting to see the market's reaction to that on tomorrow, on Tuesday. I think that, you know, one of the things you look at is, you know, is something going to happen here? I mean, are we going to squeeze China and force them to do something? I would think that that would be the only way to do something or not. I think we are past the putting on limits and putting things against them and holding things back. I think that they're crazy enough to go ahead and obviously do something. Now, you know, what are we going to do about it, and can it be taken care of? And I think it should be. I think that, of course, Kim Jong-un is wacko, and we've got some major issues. And, you know, will this be the final straw that does bring fear to the market? And it's really hard to say. You know, we had a jobs number last week that was less than mediocre. We're seeing continued falling of new jobs. Yes, we've had 156,000, except that, once again, we continue to lose full-time jobs. And again, this does tie back into the healthcare and the willingness and the want of employers to want to hire, because they don't want to be in this healthcare disaster that we have. So as you look at it and you see what's going on, and we take a look at, you know, some of the other outside markets that have some involvement, you now see gold breaking out to new highs. You see the Bitcoin going bananas. And of course, you know, we talked to Stan Larimer on Friday, and you know, he talks about the Bitcoin as a Model T or as an old technology already. And we are now also seeing, you know, what we talk about, the petrodollar you know, is we've mentioned that China and Russia were doing things with the blockchain technology. And, of course, they seem to be farther than even we suspected along the way. And, of course, there's going to be now be a product against that the oil will be priced against the yuan. So there's a lot of things that are ugly and that don't make a lot of sense around here. And I think that, you know, we continue to ignore them. And I think that's one of the bigger problems is the way that we continue to ignore the problems that are at hand and the problems that are right in front of us. And this is something that I hope we get resolved because it's going to create at some point something really, really bad. Again, for the economy and for equities. And, you know, this is an issue that we can't continue to ignore between the nut in North Korea and between the continuing trying to push the can down the road and the melting down of many of these pension plans. This cannot obviously continue. It's going to create major, major turmoil throughout the economy. And how long do you think we can hide from it? And I think this is one of the bigger problems. You know, we have become a society of hiding. And, you know, when you have the people running the economy the way it is, you can see that there's major problems. And of course, we didn't get any help from the tragedy in Houston with Hurricane Harvey and what a tragedy that is. And it's so sad for all the people that live there. And obviously all the people that don't have insurance that are going to lose everything because of this flood. It was really great to see the outpouring of help and the money is being donated. You know, I mean, J.J. Watt, football player, wanted to raise a couple hundred thousand. He's raised, I think, 16 or 17 million by now. Jerry Jones donates a million, and you know, a bunch are chipping in. And of course, the Cajun Navy was great, and just the neighbors were great, helping everybody out. But again, that's going to create probably by the time it's all done, the biggest natural disaster in history, and probably be in the trillion mark. And how are we going to, again, now that we'll throw a crink into what I'd like to have seen, which was the non-raising of the debt ceiling. See, we can't afford to let these mopes in Congress and the Senate to continue to spend frivolously and not take care of business. And that's really what I think we're seeing is the continuation of crapola. Okay, and that is something that is really a problem that if we don't take care of it soon, it's going to continue to mount and grow and create a much bigger problem. And that, I think, is at the end of the day, is the real story, is somewhere along the line, this debt has to be resolved. It has to be taken care of. But in the meantime, your dogs have to be taken care of as well. And, of course, you want to take care of them the best. You go to BarkBox.com. And, of course, that's GetBarkBox.com/TheBubbaShow to get a free month of your delivery service. They deliver every month right to your door. So I would urge you to check them out. Again, that's GetBarkBox.com/TheBubbaShow. GetBarkBox.com/TheBubbaShow. And don't forget that, you know, The Bubba Show is available to you every single day at LibertyTalk.fm. You can download that. And then, of course, the sporting ads on the weekends. And I know the boys had a big weekend in early college football. So let's check. Make sure you check that out. And don't forget about BubbaTrading.com. You can see our new programs we've got. We got two new classes starting on September 12th and 13th, hedging and futures. In the meantime, we're going to stop out here for a break and come right back to you. This is The Bubba Show, and I am Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be right back after the break with more The Bubba Show. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and it's time for the one and the only, the one who always brings good things to life, and the one who's on the road today, traveling in the cornfields of Indiana, Jane King, Lila Max Media, The Catching Report. What's up, Jane King?
Yes. Hi, good morning. Well, I'm somewhere around Peru, Indiana, and home visiting family and doing a couple of business meetings. And I don't know, from my perspective, the corn and beans look really good here. Nice and green and lush. And we'll see. We'll see in, coming up here in about a month how the crop's going to be. But everything looks really good.
So they do look, the markets look good, the grains look good, and of course it's always a potential issue, and of course maybe that's why they're priced at lows that we haven't seen since I was a little boy. What's your family tell you about the season so far? I know your brothers are still involved, correct?
Yeah, they're still farming. I mean, I do know that farm income is expected to go up this year for the first time since 2013. So while it's not going to be, you know, what we've seen, but it's still supposed to be a little bit of a better year. Things are kind of turning around. But, you know, I remember, like, always asking Dad, you know, what would you rather have, like, high prices and a bad crop or a good crop and low prices? And he said, I always want a good crop and low prices. He can store it. He can do whatever. He's got different options. So I guess that they're getting, it looks like they're going to get a good crop. So hopefully they're happy.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. Listen, obviously, you know, you can, you know what it costs, you put it in and you can get a lot of money on, you know, the more you can produce, especially if prices, you know, sometimes there's obviously anomalies. Prices are real high, but some people can't make enough. So that's always good. So, I don't know. What do you think about this this disaster in Houston? What a mess, huh?
Oh, my goodness. I mean, it's just, you know, I first started hearing about Hurricane Harvey, like, the Wednesday before. I was just starting to see a little bit. I do an ag and energy report every day, and there was, starting to be a little bit of murmurs about, well, this is kind of headed for the Gulf Coast. It may cause some disruption, you know, to some of the refineries down there. And then, like, boom, it became this monster. And I started hearing about 50 inches of rain. It's just unheard of. And, boy, they were right on the mark. 50 inches of rain in Houston. It's incredible. And now there's another hurricane, Irma, that's going up the East Coast. And I don't know. I guess we're in it for an active hurricane season. And I've lived through a hurricane, Sandy, in 2012. And it's like, I don't ever want to do that again. That is not fun. I mean, it's a huge disruption to your life. You know, lose power. And some of these people, you know, lost their homes. And I just really feel for them. And I hope that they can recover quickly.
Yeah, it's really sad. And I think one of the big sad things is that, you know, you talked about people losing their home. And, you know, obviously the only way you can get flood insurance, I believe, is through the federal government. And, of course, you still have to be able to afford it. And it's unfortunate because I understand that only 1 in 6 or 1 in 7 actually have insurance. So think about the devastation of those who have had a home and now they no longer have a home. What are they going to do now?
Well, and insurance companies don't make it easy. Like, I remember during Sandy, my husband's business was not flooded, even though it's in the basement. But just by sheer luck, he happened to be a little bit higher level than some other parts of our neighborhood. And but he was without power and had business disruption. So we did have business disruption insurance. But they said, the insurance company said it's caused by the flood, but it was really caused by the power, the wind that knocked the power out, because it really kind of happened at the start of the storm. So, I mean, we went back and forth with them, but, you know, the chances of winning against an insurance company are very slim. And so we just kind of gave up. But we actually had, like, I think a meteorologist write up something, and but they have the best lawyers and they know their industry, and we, you know, didn't get our payout.
Well, no, because they're going to fight you. You know, one of the things about trying to fight them is it costs so much to fight them that you got to give up, right? I mean, you know, what are you fighting for? I got to tell you something. If we could fix one major problem in this country, Jane, it would be the legal system, because it's brutal. When you think about the cost of legal stuff, the lawyers always end up with the money. Nobody gets any money out of these big class action lawsuits. What do you think about all that stuff? I mean, nobody gets the money. The lawyers get it all.
There's one out today about Amazon apparently had for sale. I mean, and Amazon warned and pulled some of this, but some fraudulent eclipse sunglasses. And so some people filed a lawsuit and they want to make a class action that they bought these fake sunglasses on Amazon and it caused their eyes to water and they had blurry vision. And I was just like, oh, come on. I mean, you know, it's just like, there's never, anybody can file a lawsuit. So, you know, and Amazon will probably end up paying something just to make it go away.
Well, yeah, right. Listen, you know what? Mm-hmm. Take them out in the cornfields for a while. They'll know what eye sweating and all that stuff means if they have to do a little work once in a while, right? I mean, it's ridiculous. So Jane, so what
and eyes were watery. I mean, I have watery eyes, like, you know.
Every day.
Like, I'm getting up in the middle of the night. And, you know, it's just like...
my allergies. I have watery eyes every day. It's ridiculous. I mean, come on. Yeah. So what do you? So you do metal and energy or an energy report? What do you think of the energy? I mean, you know, I'm not surprised. I mean, I think oil is going a lot lower still, I think the oil companies kind of gouged a little bit here because of this excuse for the refineries being down. Any thought to that?
Yeah. You don't think it's the invisible hand of the market?
Yeah, it's always the invisible hand of the market.
Well, you know.
I hate that when that happens.
No, I mean, it's, you know, it's funny. I you see this happen all the time. Although, because of the shale boom, they're not able, we're not going to see, I don't think, those big increases like we saw during hurricanes Katrina and Rita. I mean, the huge, like, $1.25 rise in gas prices. These are more like 15 to 20 to 25 cent rises. So the shale boom has really been beneficial. And the president did, you know, open the strategic oil reserve. So that's going to help as well. So I think it'll settle down pretty quickly.
Now, I have to ask you, as a journalist that you are, but I know you're not, you're a neutral journalist. You're very good at what you do and you don't get too opinionated on certain things. Did it bother you that Melania Trump wore her stilettos to the Houston?
Yeah, I actually was extremely upset and worried about this all day. No, it didn't bother me at all. I mean, it's just, you know, it's just crazy. It's like, what a waste of time. And, I mean, so she wore stilettos to the helicopter or whatever they ended up taking and then switched to sneakers. I mean, and the reporters who made a big deal of this look stupid. I mean, like, stupid because they made a big deal out of it, and they look stupid because she switched shoes on the plane. She wasn't going to walk around in a hurricane with stilettos on. It's just silly. And it just shows, like, what the mentality is of a lot of the journalists these days. I mean, it's snarky. You know, they just pick on people no matter what. And it's a small thing, and we should definitely move on.
I mean, right. I mean, so what's going on in the education world? We got anything on the come? Now we're back to school, so we must have some new things coming up.
Yeah, the kids start right after Labor Day. So that's, you know, they go to school, I think, later in New York than any place else in the country. Well, it's just a really interesting podcast that's out from Ted Beck. He's the CEO of the National Endowment for Financial Education. A study done on countries and how financially literate the kids are. And he calls the U.S. a gentleman C. So we're kind of like about average in terms of financial literacy. And there was this test that was done, and it was very practical. Like, you know, figure out interest on a checking account and, you know, how, you know, should you buy or lease a car, you know, and here's your situation. And so it was really applicable to real life. And he talked about the countries that do the best, China and Russia, which was like shocking that they're doing the best right now, educating their kids. And one of the reasons why is because they have a national policy, which we don't. We tend to leave it, you know, local or state. And some states are doing better than others. Utah has a great financial education program. So, you know, it's just one of those things that I think, you know, you just try to do your best just to teach the kids about money. And you know, one thing is just kind of help have them earn it. I mean, I made the kids come home and help grandma do some stuff, water her plants and clean cobwebs out, and they earned a little money by doing that, and now they can choose to spend it how they want.
There you go, and that's Jane King on the road to Indiana. Happy Labor Day, my dear. Thank you, as always, for coming on. I appreciate
it. Thank you, too.
Have a great trip. Have a great weekend. I hope your family has a great time as well. Thanks, Jane.
Thanks, Todd.
And that was our roving reporter. Actually, that was our friend, Jane King, Lila Max Media, the Ka-Ching Report. And, of course, Jane was brought to you by Casper Mattress. It's Casper.com. They've got their brand new technology. They're also offering you a 100-night sleep-in trial, free at home. And, of course, Bubba Show listeners get a $50 discount off of any mattress purchase. All you have to do is go to CasperTrial.com/TheBubbaShow. Again, that's CasperTrial.com/TheBubbaShow to get your $50 off of any mattress purchase. Make sure you check it out. And don't forget about me, LibertyTalk.fm, where you can download The Bubba Show every single day, as well as The Sporting Edge on the weekends. And, of course, BubbaTrading.com, where you can get Bubba's Bottom Line It's worth checking out. We're gonna get a, we're gonna eventually win an Emmy for this. In the meantime, go to BubbaTrain.com and check it out. And that will do it for this section segment. We'll be back right after the break with Matt Demeter, DemeterResearch.com. The Bubba Show, Top Bubba Arts. We're coming right back. What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialdini, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you, give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and it's time for our technical genius, our technical analyst of the Bubba Show, Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. What's up, Matt?
Hey, Todd. How you doing?
I'm doing good. So you conveniently called the high of the NASDAQ last week, said we'd go higher, and of course, we broke out to all-time new highs. Markets look extremely extended, but of course that doesn't mean anything. But you also thought that you had another target in the Russell, which we have now hit. And what are your thoughts now going forward here?
Right. Well, we hit a logical upside target in QQQ for me, so we could definitely sell off here. I'm turning. I was more bearish the last time we spoke, but I said I wasn't going to touch the NASDAQ. But I was, bearish on Russell 2000, which was almost as strong as NASDAQ. So, but I would say same thing with Russell. It hit a pivot resistance for me. It was a logical target. It's hit it now, and now this week I think we're going to see a turn down. Russell, if you look at the hourly indicators, they're extremely overbought. If you look at the NYSE McClellan Oscillator, it's as overbought as it's been for the whole year. So, I think that, this may not be a massive pullback. Well, I think we're going to get at least some short-term weakness.
You would think you would get some weakness somewhere, but it's amazing. You and I were talking off air about North Korea. Now, again, I know those things don't affect, what you're going to do, but of course the markets broke hard. And, I'd actually said to a group that I was talking to that, hey, it's probably a buying opportunity because you can kind of see it wasn't as weak as one might have wanted it based on that information. And, of course, we did come flying right back. And that's one of the interesting things that you watch in markets. And now, did that have any effect on your charts? Did that have any effect on what you were doing?
It didn't have a lot of effect on my charts, and that's a little bit surprising too. I mean, I would think the reaction to this would be bigger. I know that North Korea has played, the boy that cries wolf or something, but they do this all the time. But they actually shot a missile over Japan. I mean, this is, if they do anything else, my guess would be that, Trump, after what he said, that he would actually do something. So. I would think that people would be a little bit more on edge, a little bit more concerned. But no, it didn't really affect the chart. But I'll say that I still think, this week we'll get some weakness. I think, we'll get some people coming back from vacation. It'll probably still be a light week. But if you look at what the VIX options traders are doing, the at-the-money VIX calls for this Wednesday are – much more expensive than the VIX puts by 10 to 1. So, these guys are usually, they don't usually lose. So my thinking is we get a little bit higher VIX this week and a little bit of a sell off.
And obviously, you would think we would see some more volatility, and you would think we would see something happening, and of course that will have to come back with, you know, volume's been relatively light, and do you see volume coming back in here, or do you see those things changing at all?
Well, I don't really look that closely at volume. I just, you know that you're in the absence of news, light volume tends to mean we just track sideways or slowly grind up, which is what we got last week. So I'm looking for at least a small pullback in QQQ, at least a small pullback in IWM. I'm thinking IWM pulls back to the recent lows, I think around 134, and from there I think we get another bounce actually. So but that's still a pretty, we're over 140.
Right.
In IWM, so down to 134. That's, you know, that's significant. So that's kind of what I'm looking for.
So when we're looking around and we see that the bond markets continue to, you know, push yields lower, right? I mean, we saw like a really low yield in the 10-year, like 2.10, and in the 30, like 2.7. Is there any top in these bonds, or are they going up for forever?
Yeah, I think they're topping out with the bonds. I think rates are going to turn back up. We just recently got long TBT, so in other words, we're short TLT. We're right along a pivot line, a resistance line that I think is probably going to hold. And you know, I think bonds sell off here. How that fits with, you know, my at the same time thinking stocks are going to fall, I don't know, but that I'm seeing weakness should be coming in TLT.
Okay, and I would think so as well. But I've been thinking that for a while, and it's like there's when I look at the big picture and they say, well, the economy is great and everything is good, I go, well, how come they can't raise rates? And of course they don't. And of course that pours money in. So of course the dollar is pushing down. Do you think that your 89 target gets hit in the dollar now?
I still think so. I mean, I'm a little more flexible on the dollar target, the 89 zone. I think we're talking about 89 or 90. That's a big range, but with the euro, I have a much more specific, you know, exact target, which is at 122.7 actually now. It's a slowly rising line. So 122.7 is where we're looking for the euro to peak. Whatever that equates to in the dollar is where we'll bottom in the dollar, obviously. So, but I'm thinking, yeah, 89, maybe low 90 zone. But yeah, I think the dollar, it's getting very, very oversold. And commercials, you know, look at the beginning of the year, commercials were heavily, heavily short dollar futures. They had the four largest commercial banks were short 60% of open interest. It was the largest concentrated position in the dollar I've ever seen. And that concentrated position has come off. Now they're only short 4% of open interest. They're still short, but it's far less than it was. I think a little bit further down and they'll actually switch over to net long. And I like to see that too. But all things, you know, put together, I think the dollar's looking more bullish than bearish.
I agree. I mean, I thought, you know, you had interesting action in the euro currency off the jobs number on Friday. It spiked up to, I think, almost, 119.90 or something like that. And then it fell apart on Friday. Any thought to that? Because I know you thought maybe it might get to 122, and of course that would correlate with 89 probably in the dollar index. But was that like the turnaround on Friday, or do you think it's got a little bit more room to work higher?
Yeah, I don't think that was a turnaround on Friday. I think it was real close though. I mean, it actually got a little bit above 120, so I was thinking maybe that would be the day that we'd get the hit the target. Now I still think 122.5, 122.7 is where it needs to get to. Once that happens, we're gonna layer on a large short position, and you know, we'll do the inverse on the dollar. We'll get long. We're already, as I said, we've already long, but we're long like a one-third position. I don't know why I'm actually doing it. It just, you know. You know, there's always a possibility I'm gonna be wrong, and obviously so. But I still this euro target I feel pretty strongly about, the 122.5, 122.7 zone.
No, I get that. I mean, look, it makes sense, and you have to look for certain spots. And, you know, typically markets will go, you know, if you have an upside target, they sometimes will go a little bit farther than you think they do. When they go down, they'll go a little bit farther down when you think they do. What about the Canadian's been kind of strong? What do you think of there? Anything?
Canadian's amazing. I mean, you know, it looks like it's sort of it looks like it's delinked from oil. I don't think, you know, for a while there, we had a really tight linkage with oil. Doesn't seem to be the case anymore. And when I look at the big picture pattern on a Canadian, I think it's just going to get stronger. And I don't have a good explanation for that. It is definitely overbought. If you look at weekly indicators, they're definitely overbought. Same thing with daily. But, you know, I have a difficult time trying to figure out what the fundamental backdrop might be. But I think the Canadian gets stronger. If you're looking at CAD, you know, I'm thinking it's going to get up to about 84 cents, 84 to 85 cents. If you're looking at it the other way, USD over CAD, then I think it's about 118 is where at minimum where it needs to get to.
All right. And of course, the other big story is Bitcoin. Of course, I think it hit 5,000 now finally.
No, it came close. I think it was Friday night. It came very close to 5,000. I was actually up at 1 o'clock in the morning. That's the one thing about Bitcoin. It trades 24/7. So it's kind of a nightmare in that sense. But it set off some of my alarms. I got up. I'm looking for, you know, for 5,000. When I saw the both sides of the equation, there was just a wall of sell orders at 5,000. It was overbought. It was overextended, overbought. And you had a wall of sell orders at 5,000. Everybody's trying to sell at 5,000. So I sold right there about $30 below 5,000 and, you know, just went back to bed. And,
nice.
You know, yeah, the next, you know, I got up in the morning and saw it drop 10%. So, you know, that was clear. If anybody wants to stay up and take a look at it. Yeah.
Worth getting up for with Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. I'll be right back with more from Matt. And, of course, Matt is being brought to you by Audible Books. That's audibletrial.com/TheBubba Show. Again, audibletrial.com/TheBubba Show. In the meantime, we're going to step out of here for a break. Make sure you go to libertytalk.fm and download The Bubba Show every day. And we'll be back with more from Matt after the break right here on The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz, The Bubba Show. We're coming right back with more from Matt Demeter, The Bubba Show. Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwitz with Matt Demeter, DemeterResearch.com, the Bubba Show technical analyst genius, the resident expert. Matt, so we've seen obviously a lot of strange things, and it wasn't like it was totally unexpected. It's typical during a holiday week, and of course, you mentioned you got up at 1 o'clock in the morning to get out of some Bitcoin, and when are you going to buy it back? What's your price target to buy back in?
Sure. I just pull up my chart actually right now, make sure I get the right figure. I'm looking for about 43.30. So just call it 43.50 for a round number. And right now we're at 44.25. All so right. not much lower. And then I think we're going to get a bounce. I think we will, you know, probably take out 5,000. But there's going to be heavy resistance up there too. So I think not much over 5,000, you're going to get a bigger sell-off.
I agree with that. You know, it's like any other market. And speaking of any other market, it took gold forever to get through and hold 1,300. And now here we are.
Yeah.
And I know that, you know, you were longer-term bearish, short-term bullish. I mean, and now that we've broken above another level, what's your take on gold here?
Well, you know, we talked about this, you know, a week or two ago, and we were talking about 1330 as a resistance level, which it's working. It's acting as a resistance level. If it pops through 1330, then I think it goes to 1370, so another $40. I think it's going to run into a lot more resistance at 1370 than it is here, if it can make it. So that'd be my target on the upside. Assuming we break through this week through 1330, then I think 1370 is on the table. At that level, I might even consider going short. I don't normally like to short gold and silver because, you know, I'm a gold and silver
right.
bug. But
I understand. It makes sense. I don't typically like to short them either. I mean, you know, I'd rather wait from the dip and buy them. But, you know, obviously there's sometimes money to be made on the short side. And if you get the right move. And speaking of silver, we know you like silver better. And, you know, silver got to about 1780. What's your look at there?
That was another resistance target for me. So 1780, I think, is acting as resistance. If it's easily broken, which we'll see, I think there's a good chance it will hold. Then I think my next target's up into the 18s. I think it's 1860 something. But the you know, I will always prefer silver over gold. In this particular case, I have a very clear short-term target at 1780 in silver. So I actually got short, but just a small break above 1780, and we'll cover that. The thing that's making me, you know, the indicators are starting to get overbought. That's one of the things that I'm worried about. The other thing is that the commercials, you know, they never leave gold and silver alone, and this is no exception. They've been selling short into these rallies big time. I mean, now in gold, they're as short as they have been basically for a year, about 11 months. So they have a big short position now on gold, and they have a pretty big position in silver, short position. So they're looking to rig these guys lower, and, you know, so I'm not super optimistic that they're going to make a lot more headway.
I understand. And, of course, last week you talked about the grains, and you said that you had switched your opinion from being totally bearish in corn and figured that there'd be a bounce. And sure enough, we got a pretty healthy bounce on Thursday. And wheat looks like it might have found the bottom. What's your take of the grain markets here now?
Grains, I'm pretty constructive on. I think, you know, they have a good chance of bouncing. The whole ag space is a concern, though, because when I look at the big ag ETFs like DBA, they've broken down from important support. I thought 19 was very important support in DBA, and I'm looking now for high 16s in that ETF, which suggests the whole commodity complex is going lower. The grains are maybe the only ones that could buck the trend, because when I look at JJG, which is a grains ETF, it looks like it's much closer to a bottom. I don't think it's actually bottomed yet, but it doesn't have much further to fall. Maybe another dollar, and in that ETF. But corn's at reasonable support. I think there's one a little bit lower that it could fall to. Soybeans is nowhere close to, you know, my target low.
Right.
So I'd still be bearish on soybeans. Wheat, as you just mentioned, I think wheat is, you know, it's still going to be my favorite of the group.
All right. Again, it still is the strongest. As ugly as it's been, it still is percentage wise the strongest. So we can't buck that trend. And of course, the livestock markets. We talked about hogs, and hogs have now, you know, slid into oblivion again, which makes sense. You and I talked about it every week, and it looks like cattle's kind of held. I mean, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, you were bearish on hogs, and I agreed with that. Cattle has support coming in at 102 in the October contract. So if forced to take a position, I'd be a buyer in cattle.
I understand. And you know, I think the most interesting market, the most interesting man in the world, the most interesting market in the world is, I think, is still crude oil. I mean, I know you have some targets that are higher, but with everything that everybody has tried to push us higher, even with Hurricane Harvey, which obviously is a tragedy, yes, RBOB, the gasoline futures went a lot higher, but oil continued to go lower. I mean, it just looks like it wants to head back down to that low. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty well sold off here. I don't think it has a whole lot. This one I could be totally wrong about, but I still am looking for the mid 50s. I think it can get back up to 52, which is sort of my minimum upside. And then there's super strong resistance around 57, 58. It's a declining resistance. So if we were to, you know, we talk about it in future, you know, podcasts, then, you know, that'll be a lower price. But right now I'm still looking for, you know, 52 at least on the upside, and I'm waiting to get short. I'd love the short oil at a higher price. Here, I think we're closer to support. I think we have support in a 44 to 45, 45 zone. So, if that breaks, then I could you know, switch over to the bearish camp. But right now, I'm just short-term bullish.
No, I understand. It makes sense. I mean, I just looked at it myself. I just think it looks like it wants to go lower. And again, with everything they've tried, they still can't get it. But I can certainly see it. And certainly, I'd be happy if you go back to 52. I'd like to sell it myself. You know, higher.
It's hard to see what the catalyst would be. Like, I mean, I agree with you. But what if hurricanes can't get it up, what will?
Viagra. They need a dose of Viagra. So... Yeah. Weak figures to be a little bit slow. You're looking for a little bit of a selling, and you're looking for a little rise in volatility. Anything else special that you're looking for?
Trying to think what I'm looking at that would be real interesting. I think the Treasury's short trade is a really good one. You know, that's a really long term trade that, you know, began a year ago, and I think it's got a long way to go. As you know, I think the 10-year rate I'm looking for, 11% eventually. I don't know what would cause that to happen, but probably the bankruptcy of the U.S. But
the idiocy of the Federal Reserve. That's all.
Yeah, something.
You called the top, and I can commend that. And Mr. Demeter, it's always great to have you on. This is Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. Thanks, Matt. I appreciate it, man.
Todd, it's always great to be here. Thanks a lot.
And that was our guy, our technical expert, Matt Demeter, DemeterResearch.com. And, of course, Matt was brought to you by Audible Books. And, of course, if you want to get the best in books on – basically books on tape, but put them right on your iPhone, Kindle, or any of the other devices, excuse me, all you have to do is go to audibletrial.com/TheBubbaShow. Again, that's audibletrial.com/TheBubbaShow. That's to get your 30-day free trial and also to give you access to their library of 180,000 books on tape. And, of course, you know we like Fed Up, because I'm pretty fed up anyways. But in the meantime, I hope you're having a great Labor Day, and make sure that you always go to libertytalk.fm. You can download the Bubba Show every single day, and as well as the Sporting Edge on the weekends. And just a reminder, starting next week on September 12th and September 13th, we're starting new classes, hedging your portfolio on the 12th, 7-week session, and day trading futures. So check them out at BubbaTrading.com as well as Bubba's Bottom Line. That'll do it for today. I hope you're going to have a great Labor Day holiday. I hope you have a great barbecue. I hope the weather's good. And my thoughts and prayers go out to everybody in Houston, of course, and the surrounding area. In the meantime, everybody have a great holiday. Thank you so much. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Same time, same station, The Bubba Show.
Turn the quiet up.
Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk FM.